So last week, we ended. We were talking about not forcing anyone or either from disciples or from guru or from any angle, forcing anyone take initiation from anybody, even forcing people to take initiation. I think we talked about that also. Not even a question of taking initiation from a certain person, but even forcing people before they're ready to make full commitment to take initiation. Actually, I don't know if we spoke about that. Does anyone remember if we spoke about that aspect? I know we spoke about the aspect of disciples not coercing people to become disciples of their guru, or even disciples of any guru. But maybe you're a disciple of one guru and you like coercing people to take initiation from another guru. So, but I don't know if we spoke about kind of pushing people to take initiation in general, just the principle that you've been around for a while, you should take initiation. That it's a principle, of course, in our scripture, but Prabhupada's principle was always that it has to come from the individual. Of course, you could say, well, in the beginning, Prabhupada just gave initiation, whether or not people were ready, and that's true. But now, in retrospect, when we have so many devotees and so many people are lining up for initiation because Shastra says that's one of the most important things, then people begin to feel pressured. And pressured before perhaps they're fully confident they can follow their vows. So Prabhupada always taught that people should learn Krishna consciousness through the regular practices, and from that voluntarily want to follow. And voluntarily, everything's about voluntary. Everything's about, you see, here it's a problem. But does anyone remember if we talked about this? Because I don't want to elaborate on it if we've already, it's already on it. If I've talked about it previously. Well, if you don't remember, either that means I didn't talk about it or we all have bad memories. Life is so busy, we can't remember that I spoke about 3 days ago, right? So, anyway, I'll just talk about this until someone says, yes, you did speak about it. So, one thing I may have spoken to you about, if not, I'll speak about it now, but it's very important. You have two things going on in your spiritual life. One is pushing and one is pulling. And what do I mean by that? I mean that before one has a taste, or before the inspiration is naturally there, you have to push yourself. Push yourself to get up, push yourself to chant, push yourself to read, push yourself to go and do your service. Pushing, 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 pushing. And then when either you advance more or you just connect to a particular service, or you just connect to the, just the idea of making the world Krishna consciousness. And you connect in a really deep way to any aspect of Krishna consciousness so that you're no longer being pushed. You no longer have to push yourself, but you're actually being pulled by inspiration. Then nobody has to tell you to do something. Nobody has to force you. You will certainly get inspired by hearing from Prabhupada and advanced devotees. You're already inspired. Excuse me. You're already inspired. So you're just getting more inspired. It's not that. You come, like every Tuesday night, you come to listen and you're like down, down, down on your last thread. And you hear this class and it blows you up. But as I give in the example, you're like a balloon with a hole in it. So gradually it fizzles out. By the next class, you're down on your last thread. So it's not like that. And then we would say, okay, to such person, you should get initiated. You know, you've been chanting for a year or two, you should get initiated. We don't want to make people feel guilty that they're not initiated. And we don't want to make people feel guilty who are overly dependent on others' inspiration to keep them sane and keep them inspired. But inspiration, it really needs to come from within. So that was Prabhupada's point. He didn't want us to force people to move into temples. Excuse me. He didn't want us to force people. He wanted people to understand Krishna consciousness and want to practice it on their own. He wanted people to willingly do austerity because they understood the importance of it. And austerity can be something that's relishable. Like you get up early, you chant, it's an austerity, but it's quite relishable when it comes from your own willingness to do it. So he wanted us to hear, and then by hearing, we'd see the importance of the practice, and we would do it voluntarily. So that's a stable position of Krishna consciousness. The unstable position is that you become highly dependent on the inspiration of others, which means you don't really have much of it yourself. Of course, we're all inspired by others, that's for sure. But real inspiration comes from Krishna within the heart due to one's sincerity, one's desire to serve. And that inspiration is, it remains constant and it increases. So when a devotee connects very deeply with a philosophy to the point that voluntarily they want to do it, they don't have to be pushed all the time. And particularly when they connect very deeply with a service, something that's very inspiring, something that's connected with a vision that really inspires them, or connected with a particular service that is in sync with their nature, then that inspiration becomes very strong from within, and they get a lot of energy, because everybody knows that when you're inspired, it's like you have unlimited sources of, it's like an unlimited source of energy within you, and you can just work, and never tire, and you can just go. So in Krishna consciousness, there's so many things to do, so everyone can find something that inspires them. So that's a good state of spiritual life to be in, and that's a good state from which to take initiation. And of course, when you take initiation, you're making vows, so you want to have that conviction that naturally comes from understanding why to take the vows. You want to have the conviction from understanding the essential importance of japa. And then you're in a good position, or a more stable position. Whereas if you're tottering, you know, some days good, some days bad, you're really, really dependent on other people to blow up your balloon because you have a hole in it. It's not such a good position from which to take initiation, because it shouldn't, you know, I don't want to say we shouldn't struggle to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time, I do want to say we shouldn't struggle. At least we should be advanced enough, but we should have enough taste and inspiration coming to do devotional service that the main practices will not be should not be a struggle. Of course, you know, we change, the situations change in our life. So where you're at now, you may be in a good position, and in the future, circumstantially, you may not be in such a good position. And so it may be more that you have to push in the future because of the situation you're in. But if your conviction is very deep about the need for austerity, if your conviction is very deep in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you'll find it much easier to follow. And if your conviction must be very deep in the essential importance of chanting the Maha Mantra, otherwise it can be put on a back burner very easily. You put off your rounds for later, you don't finish them, or you don't chant well. So I think a lot of people, when they take initiation, maybe they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing because they're already doing it and they think, well, I'm just confirming what I'm already doing. And in many cases, that is true. But what I'm saying is that if you look into the future of your entire life and all the situations you will face, unless there's deep conviction about the importance of chanting, you really understand it in relation to all the other processes of bhakti, and it's something that has become extremely important to you in your life, and the following the regular principles have become extremely important to you as your foundation, then it can be possible you get thrown off when situations in your life change. I was also thinking about this, you know, this illicit sex thing, it's such a problem. And it becomes such a problem that even devotees who take initiation, sometimes they don't fully understand the importance of it, or, you know, what's wrong. You know, I just have sex with my wife, so what's wrong with that? You know, I'm not doing it with anyone else. Of course, the principle is sex for procreation, not sex for recreation. But if you deeply understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one thing starts to become clear, and that's Krishna's pastimes have nothing to do with sex life as we understand it here in this plane. It has nothing to do with sensual attraction of two material bodies. It's completely transcendental, and it only has to do with pure love. It has absolutely nothing at all whatsoever to do with mundane romance, mundane physical attraction. So the point is, as much as we are attracted physically to the opposite sex, and particularly as much as we are engaged in physical sex, to that degree we are blocked from entering the proper understanding of Krishna's pastimes. And it's one of the aspirations of the pure devotees to be able to understand those pastimes. Actually, it's the aspiration to become part of those pastimes. So what to speak of being part of them if you don't even understand them? How would you ever become part of them? So it begins with understanding them. There's a song in which, I guess it's Narottam Das Thakur. Vishaya, how does that go? It's Kauranga balite habe, pulaka shari hari hari balite nayana bhabene. Visha, and then I forget the next line. So he say, when will that day come when, you know, I'll be in ecstasy? And then, when will that day come when I give up sense gratification so that I can understand jugala priti, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? So he's making this point that as long as I have a desire to enjoy, I won't be able to understand those pastimes because those pastimes have nothing to do with material enjoyment. So that's an important realization. And I've talked about this before, that Krishna says, understand me in truth, and you go back to Godhead, but you can't understand Krishna in truth unless you're somewhat transcendental, because Krishna's pastimes have nothing to do with the mundane world. So because of our desire to enjoy this world, we tend to think of Krishna's pastimes similar to our consciousness and our life and our activities. And if you're not a devotee, you definitely, when you see Krishna's pastimes, you just think they're like everyone else's pastimes. So I think a lot of devotees have not gone to this depth of understanding, you know, that sexual desires are very difficult to control, but you have to have an impetus to control them. You have to understand why to control them. And at least for me, this is a huge impetus that I want to, and we all want to enter the leelas of Radha and Krishna, and we want to be able to understand and relish them here and now, because understanding these leelas will not only give us relish, but will purify us of all traces of mundane consciousness. So the price you have to pay to understand these highest leelas is to refrain from imitating them in your own life. And if you imitate them in your own life, you block yourself from understanding those leelas. And so you deprive yourself of this ultimate nectar. And that ultimate nectar is what gives you the faith and conviction to continue in Krishna consciousness. So the point I was making is that when someone takes initiation vows, if they're very deeply rooted in the understanding of why they've made those vows and what those vows entail, and particularly what are the results you get from following those vows. Being here, as we're saying, your ability to understand the leelas of Krishna, especially with the gopis, enter into a feeling also, and it's hard to describe exactly what I mean by understand, because that understanding yields tremendous realization and bliss and so forth. But if you can't control your own sexual life, you block yourself from that whole world of realization and that whole world of understanding. So that's the view of the pure devotees. When will I be able to give up sense gratification so I can understand those pastimes? So when you're firmly rooted in that realization, then it's not so difficult to follow initiation vows. But if you're not well-rooted and you're just being pressured, do it. Due to mundane conditioning, many, many devotees take initiation. They find it extremely difficult to give up illicit sex. Of course, you know, as we said, broad definition of illicit sex is you keep sex within marriage. So it's not that they're polluting virgin girls or other men's wives or like that. But still, it blocks one from entering to those higher understandings. It's just like it's said, when you worship the deities, you can make offense, and those offenses can be harmful for your bhakti. But when you worship Mahaprabhu, there is no offense. But it doesn't mean that if you're thinking in the wrong way, even though they don't take offense, it doesn't have an ill effect on you. So you could say, well, you know, broad definition is no illicit sex, is keep sex in marriage. So then it becomes sex more for recreation than procreation. So you could say, okay, in a broad sense, it's still not breaking the principle, but it is affecting you because you're not doing it as service anymore, you're doing it as enjoyment. So obviously anything you do for personal enjoyment, it kind of keeps you outside the realm of understanding deeply Krishna's Leela, because Krishna's Leela is beyond. It has nothing to do with, there's nothing personally motivated in the activities of Krishna's devotees. And if we want to understand those pastimes, what to speak of enter those pastimes, we also have to come to that platform of pure motivation. So you see how important it is to understand deeply the reasons that we do things, just like in our japa workshop, we spent a lot of time explaining the central importance of japa in the practice of bhakti. And Prabhupada said, of all the regulative principles given by the spiritual master, the order to chant 16 rounds is most essential. So this is like everything Prabhupada's given us, this is the most essential. So when you understand that deeply, then your 16 rounds becomes important to you, and you do it well, and you give the priority to it, and you give time to it. And we see that in our movement in general, not everybody does that. A lot of it's circumstantial because people are busy. But whatever the case is, not everybody does it because they don't understand it deeply. And so when you get initiated, it's really important that you understand the importance of all these principles. Now, gambling and meat eating are not such a problem, and the biggest problem for Indians is giving up tea, and some devotees have a background with addiction, either alcohol or narcotics or other drugs. And so anyone who's battled with that has to be, you know, if they take initiation or if you've battled with gambling, you know, you definitely have to set boundaries in your life too, so that you'll never be in a situation where you would be ever tempted to do that. And that's the pushing, that's the determination. But again, you have to understand the depths of that problem. And because what we're actually doing in Krishna consciousness is we're forming another kind of addiction, and we're becoming addicted to devotee association. We're becoming addicted to chanting, and we're becoming addicted to hearing. And so if we're addicted to anything else, well, you could be addicted to prasadam. If you're addicted to anything else, then that addiction takes you away from Krishna. So we want the addictions that bring us to Krishna. And self-control, self-discipline is essential in the practice of devotional service. So if anyone has a background with addiction and they take initiation, they have to be firmly rooted in understanding how detrimental addiction is and how much it can ruin one's bhakti, and how actually we're trying, you know, the goal is to always be surrounded by Krishna's devotees, by hearing and chanting, and the goal is to become addicted to Krishna consciousness. So you can use that propensity, become addicted to Krishna consciousness, that's fine. But anyway, I think you understand the point I'm making here is that you have to have internal reasons which make sense to you, which drive you on a daily basis to follow principles, to chant your rounds. And if you, and this is what we want to give to other people, not only we have them for ourselves, but we want to give them to other devotees. And so that they have them also, so when they take initiation, they are also inspired from within, and it's a very, I would say, I think it's a caution, we should be cautioned if our conviction, or it's not only conviction, it's also understanding why we follow these principles, why we're chanting 16 rounds. That if we easily forget, or we're very dependent on the inspiration of others, it's not a healthy state. If we easily forget, it probably means we haven't really understood it deeply enough or broadly enough. And if we're dependent on the inspiration of others, it can also mean that we're not connected with the service that's highly inspiring. And I'm not saying that we are not dependent on the inspiration of others. We can all be more inspired. There's no question about that. But I'm talking about for the daily